Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Day 6 of the World Cup, England and USA play out a draw. Iran leaves it late against Wales and Qatar has been eliminated. I'm your host, Amy Duggan. This is the Optus Sport Football Podcast. Let's get into the Gagan Pod. Absolutely awesome to be joined by our panel of former World Cup players today. We're joined by Tommy Orr, one of the only Socceroos to ever wear triple digits in an international. We'll jump into that in just a minute, Tommy. Welcome, Thomas Sorensen, 101 caps for Denmark, including two World Cup appearances in 2002 and 2010. Great to have you guys with us. And Mark Schwarzer will, of course, be chiming in from Qatar as well. Tommy Orr, let's go back to you for just 2 minutes. Tell us the story behind the number 121.
Yeah, so it was my debut for the Socceroos, actually, and it was a qualifier for the Asian Cup against Indonesia. And I never really fully understood, but I think before the qualifiers began, they had to register all kind of players that were eligible. And this was maybe 18 months before my debut, and I was only 18 at the time. So I'm assuming they thought that I would never get in the team. So
you think you were like on the list of 122 players?
Exactly. So I was probably 121st on the list of preferences, and then after a good season, they weren't allowed to change my jersey number. So that was it, really.
Did you get to keep it?
Yep, it's the only Socceroos jersey I've got framed at my house, actually.
So, oh, wow. What a story to go with it. Awesome stuff. All right, let's fast forward to 2022. We're through the first round and into the second round of group games at the World Cup. We kicked off this morning with a 6 a.m. start, England taking on USA. I was gearing up for a big one, a couple of great teams, enthusiastic midfields going head-to-head, and I've been left sorely disappointed. What, Tommy Sorensen, were your first thoughts after yet another goalless game?
Yeah, I definitely thought England sort of came back down to earth after that 6-2 win against Iran. I thought the US team had a great tactical setup. The way they sort of eliminated Saka and Sterling on the side, just doubling them up all the time. Robinson, I thought, at left back was tremendous, and Dest as well on the right-hand side. You know, just winning those one-on-one battles. And there was only a couple of times in the first half where they got in behind. So, and then with Kane dropping deep, there was not really any threat down through the middle. And I thought they offered a fair bit going forward as well. Obviously Pulisic hitting the bar in the first half. So I thought overall, probably the US team shaded it a bit. I thought England, left a bit out there, didn't quite perform as well as they did in the first one.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think we touched on the US the other day and how unlucky they were maybe in their first game not to get the win. But yeah, in this game, they kind of backed it up and maybe took it to another level again. And I think the energy that we talked about the other day as well, that the energy they brought to the game was something that England lacked. And I thought that, that enthusiasm, that they outplayed England in that sense. And I mean, if you're not going to be up for the fight, it's always going to be a difficult game. And I thought that, yeah, as Thomas just said, it was definitely brought England back down to earth after their fast start against Iran.
Well, England only having the two shots that really tested the USA keeper, so it was not an attacking game in that sense, and it would have could have really done with a goal that game, I think, Tommy.
Definitely. I think a lot of teams are approaching the games as ones that maybe they can't afford to lose, as opposed to really taking the game by the scruff of the neck and going for the win. If the US lost this game, it would have been really difficult for them to progress, but a point wasn't bad. And England's the same, obviously, for them they would have been expected to win this game, but I think a lot of teams are maybe going into the matches with that kind of mindset.
Yeah, no, England, you only really had that Mason Mount shot, which Matt Turner really got down well to his right-hand side and palmed it round. you know, again, Kane went missing again. You know, we saw it a bit at the Euros as well. He drops deep, but he's not there really in the box to be the finisher that he's meant to be. I think he's got a different role in this England team. And today, I think they just lack someone there in the middle just to compete against Ream and Zimmerman. For them, it was, they really had an easy day at the office.
What it does do, though, is set up a tantalising clash between the USA and Iran for second spot in this group and progression in that third group game. Something to look forward to, Tommy.
Definitely. I think all to play for in that last game. And, obviously with everything on the line, hopefully we don't see a stalemate again. I think that'll, in the third matches of all the groups, actually, we'll see the games open up a lot more.
Let's go back then to first up on day six, where Wales faced Iran. They battled it out. I think, Thomas Sorensen, this was somewhat of a surprise result for many.
Yeah, I think Iran, totally turned it around after the disappointment in the first game. I thought they were tremendous in this one. The top two with Taremi and Azmoun, I think, is a real handful. And I think just energy-wise, we've talked about it a few times. There's teams that have come into this tournament and are just throwing everything at it. And in this one, you could sense that they had to put in a different performance than the England game. And I thought they totally outplayed Wales in this one. Hit the post, the bar. That it took that long to get the two goals. They should have come a lot earlier, and Wales were really on the back foot for most of the game.
They certainly were, and they now need to defeat England to stand any chance of progressing. Tommy Orr, I'm going to throw you under the bus here, because wasn't Wales your dark horse? What's happened?
They were, and if I think of Wales, over the last few years, I come to think of a team that, they're going to compete, and it's going to be a really tough contest. They're going to be physical. And like Thomas just said, they're going to be one of the teams that throws everything at it. But in this tournament, they haven't really seen that, which is uncharacteristic of them, I think. And, obviously they've got some, albeit aging, world-class players, but, in the likes of Ramsey and Bale, players that can make a difference. But they've been, haven't really seen them at all in this tournament. They had no impact on the game last night. And I think that's definitely been an issue for Wales is, they've got these fantastic players, but they're not necessarily bringing the energy that's needed to compete with their opponents. And going into the last game, that's definitely something they're going to have to address.
So Wales not being at a World Cup for 64 years before this tournament, and we could, say it could have been longer than that without the likes of those players you're talking about, Gareth Bale and Aaron Ramsey, yet they've probably been, as you said, their two worst players in this tournament. Their coach has alluded to this in his post-match interview. He said Wales can't afford to carry one or two players. So, Thomas Sorensen, how long can legendary status keep you in a team for?
You know what? I think, looking at this Wales squad, like if you we can have a discussion about Ronaldo at Portugal because they've got so many great players even on the bench. But looking at the Wales bench, you've got the young Brennan Johnson at Nottingham Forest, Daniel James, who's now at Fulham on loan. But looking at everything else, it's Championship, it's even First Division players. And, you do need quality at the World Cup. And it does come, with a trade-off. And that's obviously legs. And I think it's something that we haven't touched on yet. But I think that 2 o'clock afternoon kickoff that Wales had, it's a tough one because you're playing in 30 degrees and yes, there might be a bit of air conditioning in the stadium. But we will also see it tonight with the Socceroos. They're also playing at 2 o'clock against an African team. And it seems to have an effect on some of these European teams. They can't bring the same energy.
Tommy, if you were Rob Page, what changes would you make ahead of that game against England, and are they a better chance without a couple of those big names?
I think I agree with Thomas. I think it's difficult to leave them out because you're leaving out some of your most likely avenues to goal. If you take out Gareth Bale and Ramsey, I don't really see where their goals will come from. But I think tactically, you look at their games and they've been completely overrun in the midfield. And obviously last night we saw Joe Allen come on. And he was missing in the first game. But, you know, obviously he's an aging player as well. But I think he brings a little bit more composure on the ball than some of the players that they have playing in there at the minute. And, yeah, I think that, you know, if he's fit enough, he has to come in that final game against England. And, you know, I think it's going to be difficult for them to get a good result in that game. But, yeah, I think tactically they need to going to have to look at, you know, shaking things up and trying to get a bit more control of the ball and, yeah, shake up the midfield a bit.
And we'll hopefully see some goals in that match against England. I'm not sure they're going to belong to the Welsh players, though, Tommy. There's my two cents. All right. The Netherlands and Ecuador played out a 1-1 draw. At least this one had goals, happily. A couple of goals in there for us. Cody Gakpo got on the score sheet for the Netherlands. Great stat here. He's the second most prolific player in Europe after Erling Haaland. So the question comes, is he who Manchester United should be looking at to replace Ronaldo?
I think it's a tough one. You know, he does, you know, he's an attacking player, but is he different than Rashford? You know, I think if United were looking at a player, then they need an out-and-out number nine striker. You know, he would be a great complement to the players they have. But is he the player that's going to change everything for United? I'm not too sure. I think he's a great talent. I had him as one of the young stars along with Musiala of this tournament, and he's had a good start. But yeah, it depends on the cost. I'm sure he's gonna command a big figure after this World Cup if he continues this form.
Tommy, what did you make of the game?
Yeah, I actually thought that Ecuador was probably much better, more impressive than the Dutch team in this game. Obviously, yeah, it was a fantastic goal from Gakpo. The first, you know, in the first 3 minutes, it was an unbelievable strike. But after that, I thought Ecuador completely dominated the game and were unlucky not to win, probably. And yeah, in the Dutch press, they've been pretty critical of the game from the Dutch perspective. And I think that in the first game as well, I think a lot of people are underestimating Ecuador in this tournament. You know, they play with so much energy and enthusiasm, and like we touched on before with the other sides, but they have that quality as well. And you saw with Ener Valencia scoring again, they've obviously, you know, they're more than capable in the box. But I think, you know, looking at their tournament going forward, obviously Valencia went off injured at the end. And, you know, if he's unable to continue, I think that'll be a massive loss for them.
You want to change your dark horse now, do you, to Ecuador?
Just keep jumping from horse to horse. You know?
Anything to add to that, Tommy?
You know, again, I think, you know, it just shows that Ecuador is also tactically astute. They changed their formation to a back three. And I think it just released, especially Stupinan from on that left-hand side. I thought he was tremendous. He was involved in a fair few of the you know, crosses, free kicks. And then, like, Plata hitting the bar at the end as well. So I thought, I agree with Tommy. I think they probably should have won this game. I think they'll be the most disappointed. And the Dutch, just a bit underwhelming. I don't think they were quite the team that we thought they were, at least until this point.
And Ecuador, of course, with Ener Valencia now leading the Golden Boot at this stage, probably not a name that we had on our Golden Boot list, not on mine, that was for sure. He's been wonderful to watch. Let's go to the Qatar and Senegal game, because this loss for Qatar sees them eliminated now from the World Cup. It is the earliest elimination by a host side after two games, and only the second ever host nation to go out in the group stage, the other one being South Africa, of course, back in 2010. They spent $1.3 billion to build the Aspire Academy. They've brought in the best youth coaches from around the world. They've had this team together now for well over 6 months heading into Qatar 22. And Tommy Orr, I want to ask you this. What impact will their exit have on the rest of the tournament?
Yeah, I think that the host country performing well at a World Cup, it's always, you know, one of the main narratives in the tournament. You know, everybody's closely following how the home nations are going to go. But I think it is exactly that. It's only one of the narratives. I don't see it having a big impact on the rest of the tournament, you know, from a fan's perspective or these types of things or the atmosphere on the ground, because, you know, there's still so much to play for and so much excitement to be had. And I'm sure from the Qatari perspective, they'll be really disappointed with their tournament. But, you know, there's finals to play and there's so many more exciting moments ahead that I don't really see it having a big impact on the tournament overall.
Did you, obviously you went to 2010 where you witnessed South Africa being eliminated in the group stage. I know Australia was too, but did you notice a drop off from the general sentiment around the public or numbers to grounds or talk or street chatter when the host nation was dropped out?
I mean, yeah, for sure. Of course, you know, the locals, they obviously were really excited to watch their team perform in a World Cup. And I remember the first game of that World Cup, you know, South Africa, the first goal they scored was a fantastic goal. And just the buzz that that gave was probably one of the standout moments of the tournament. So it's always a little bit sad to see the host nation, you know, fall out. But again, I don't think it really affected the tournament. You know, you move on, and after looking at, you know, the exciting games to come, and in South Africa it was like that as well, you know, having watched some of the fantastic matches, you know, the Spanish team and how they played in that tournament, you know, I think it was quickly forgotten and everybody's kind of just excited for the matches that do go ahead.
I just want to like just add to that. I think one of the positives in South Africa was there was less vuvuzelas in the ground after South Africa
won. Yeah,
because that was probably one of the downsides of that World Cup, just listening to that sound all the time. But again, Qatar. I think I think they actually showed better in this game. I thought they were unlucky not to you know, get a penalty in the first half. I don't know how that wasn't a penalty. He was totally run down, Afif in the box. You know, they showed a bit of quality later on, but again, you know, just you can't give away these goals. You know, like Kuki, you know, the way he tries to clear it, I don't know what he's doing. And I think it's just been a lack of quality all around. You know, the goalkeeping we talked about, they changed the keeper for this game. He looked a bit shaky as well. And, it, you know, individually, they're just not good enough. I think that's the problem. I think deservedly they're out at this point.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Well, welcome back to the Gagan Pod as we now take a look ahead at Day 7 action. And we can't start anywhere else but with the biggest match for us Aussies, Australia taking on Tunisia. Schwartzy, you've been in camp. What is the latest?
I'm here at the World Cup Media Centre, and it's not long now before Australia's vital second match against Tunisia. And the news from the Socceroos camp is that Nathaniel Atkinson is out with an ankle injury, and Graham Arnold confirmed that Fran Karacic will replace him at right back. When I asked him if Aidan Rusic was ready to start, this is what he had to say.
Yeah, look, he's getting there. He trained well tonight. He's recovered well. He's mentally and physically in good shape. Tomorrow, as he said, tomorrow will be a very, very physical game. The Tunisians like a physical game. We've got to match that, the physical aspect of it. But he's in good shape.
I'm, of course, hoping for a Socceroos win. And if they can replicate how they started the game against France for the entire 90 minutes, they stand a good chance in doing so. However, we know Tunisia, with their pace and physical presence, have their own dreams for success. Come on, the Socceroos!
Well, Schwartz has mentioned Nathaniel Atkinson's injury. Obviously, he wasn't at his greatest against Mbappe, or maybe he was, and Mbappe's class just shone through on the day. But to change up the starting 11, Tommy Orr, let's go to you. It creates a couple of challenges for Australia.
Definitely. I mean, I'm sure we'll see probably a few more changes than that. I'm not sure exactly what Arnie will be thinking, but I think for me, personnel aside, the big thing in this game will be making sure that we can impose ourselves on the match for the duration of the match. It's not only, you know, we saw it in the first 20 minutes against France, what we're capable of doing. And after that, I mean, you know, it's well documented that what happened and how we got caught too deep and kind of, you know, just backs against the wall, trying to not lose by too many goals. And I think it's important not to fall into that trap, because we know Tunisia is going to come out, you know, 100 miles an hour and put us under a lot of pressure. And there's no doubt in this game that we will have to defend, you know, for some long moments of the game. But we need to find a way to make sure that we can still, you know, offer something going forward at the other end. And I think that'll be the key in this game. There might be some changes in the front third. I expect maybe Abel Mabil to come into the lineup. But yeah, I think for me, it's all about that. It's all about in going forward in the attack? How can we impose ourselves on this match more than we did in the first game?
Yeah, I totally agree that the transition is going to be key, because like Denmark, found out in the first game, Tunisia, as you said, is going to, come steaming forward. They're going to have a home field advantage with all the supporters. Probably the heat is going to suit them a little bit as well. So you'll have to stand up to that pressure, and then try to hit them on the counter attack. And I think that's where Denmark found a bit of luck as well. And then hope as the game progresses that you can get a foothold and slowly, work your way in. And for Australia, it's obviously you can't lose this game, but on paper you have to try and win it as well. You have to try to get 3 points, which will put you in a good position against Denmark.
So, Tommy, how does Australia mentally prepare for this game? Coming off the France game, not the result that we wanted. There's been plenty of commentary out there. We're going into this with the pressure on our shoulders, Australia, thinking if there's any game in this group that we should be able to win, it's this one. And I have no doubt that Tunisia is probably thinking exactly the same thing in reverse. We've seen the crowds of Tunisians packing the stadium. How do you block all of that out? Is this more about self-belief and a mental game than it is technical and tactical out there on the pitch?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously the atmosphere we saw in the first game against Denmark was fantastic, but I think the Socceroos, when we've played our qualifiers in the Asian Confederation in the likes of Jordan and these types of things, we're used to those kind of adverse or those difficult environments to play in. So I don't think that'll have too much of an impact on the players. I think they'll be really focused on the job at hand, but I think that the biggest challenge in this game is going to be the football. I think that Tunisia proved in the first game how good they are and how technically capable they are in the front third. And I think that having a really good start in this game is going to be crucial, because, if Tunisia gets an early goal, all of a sudden we have to open up, and that kind of plays into Tunisia's hands as well. So if we concede early, I can see it being potentially a long day at the office. But, I think if we can keep it goalless, I think the longer the game goes on, the more chances we'll have to hurt them at the other end.
Well, all eyes will be wide open come 9 p.m. tonight, and we wish our Socceroos the best of luck as they line up against Tunisia. We will be back tomorrow, of course, to break that one down for you either way. The other matches overnight, Tommy Sorensen, let's go to you for this one. Denmark taking on France. What is going to happen here?
I hope we can get a point in this one. I think, the last two games we played against them in the Nations League, we've had good experiences. We won in Paris and we won in Copenhagen. But we know what we're up against. We also rode our luck. Mbappe, you can't contain him for 90 minutes. I think where we can take a bit of strength is that, our back line is really strong. I think, Joachim Andersen plays in the Premier League. You got Christensen at Barcelona and then Simon Kjær. I'm presuming that we'll start with a back three, back five, like we did against Tunisia, just to get into the game. And, we will create chances. I don't think France are that great defensively, and I think their midfield is not as good as when they have Kante in there, even Pogba. So I see our chances. But again, a little bit like Australia, we need to make sure that we don't go behind early and have to chase the game. We need to stay in the game, and then I'm sure we'll get our chances.
Yeah, I think the Socceroos game obviously is going to be played before that game. And I think the result in the Socceroos game will really shape the dynamics of the group as well. Because, if Tunisia gets a really strong result, obviously, against the Socceroos, then all of a sudden that France game becomes a lot more important for the Danish team as well. So I think that'll definitely play a role in how maybe the two teams approach that game.
Certainly will be a big one and very important for the connotations and the rest of the group. Argentina also lining up against Mexico. Will Messi and Argentina be able to bounce back, Tommy Sorensen?
They have to. that was a shock defeat. And just the way the games sort of after that dominant first half, the way Saudi Arabia totally out-dominated them in the second, I think took a lot of people and myself included. I was shocked, really. And so, I'm still looking for Argentina to progress. But, Mexico, it's a bit of a local rivalry in that region. And they're not going to lie down. I thought they were... They played some good stuff against Poland in that first game. And, it's going to be another tough one. But, you know, everyone will be looking at Messi. I thought he was a bit subdued in the first game. You know, for him to step up, you know, they really need him in this one to unlock this Mexico team. And I still got confidence in him. I still think they've got enough and to get a tight win in this fixture.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think the difficulties for Argentina, if they do come in this game, will be defensively, because we know Mexico going forward with the likes of Lozano and these types of players, I think that they can cause some real headaches for the Argentina defence. But, you know, I think if Argentina plays with the ball the way that we know they're capable of, then I think that'll, you know, they can nullify that threat completely and dominate the game with the ball and, you know, hopefully create lots of chances and score some goals. But for sure, I think this is very much a banana peel for Argentina as well.
Yeah, it could be very interesting, couldn't it? And Saudi Arabia facing off against Poland. The Saudis will be looking to guarantee their progression, Tommy, after that good performance against Argentina.
The Poland side will pose a completely different kind of challenge to Saudi Arabia than Argentina did, you know. Obviously, Argentina's got the more obvious firepower, but you know, the Poland will be very disciplined, very organized, you know, very methodical in their play. And obviously we saw Lewandowski miss the penalty in the first game, and I'm sure he's got, you know, he'll want to impose himself on this tournament and make a mark. So I mean, if Saudi can get a good result in this game, I think they can be one of the unexpected surprises in this tournament and perhaps make a case to be there towards the end of the tournament. But for me, I think this will be an interesting game. And yeah, I still think that Poland might win this game.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think, you know, Saudi Arabia have to be tactically astute and smart in this one, because Poland will sit back a bit more. And then, you know, looking at Zielinski, Milik, you know, looking at some of these players that are strong on the counterattack, especially also with their wingbacks. You know, that, and that's where we saw Saudi Arabia being a bit open with that high line. So, you know, they need to make sure they don't get sucked in with Poland and then, you know, hit in behind. So I agree. I think Poland will snatch this one.
Well, one thing all I'm asking for, regardless of results tonight, is goals, please, because I'm sick of playing out all these scoreless draws. The only thing that the scoreless draws have provided us, of course, is some really scintillating matchups in the third game of the group games to determine who will go through. And I think, you know, that's always great to keep the excitement alive for as long as we possibly can. Thank you so much, Thomas Sorensen, Tommy Orr and Mark Schwarzer, for your time this morning.
Oh, it's been brilliant. Let's hope for some more goals.
That's right, Tommy. We'll be back, of course, to unpack all of these games tomorrow. The Gegenpod is daily during the World Cup, so make sure you hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also rate us 5 stars while you're there. I'm your host, Amy Duggan. I'll be back with you soon. Speak to you then on the Optus Sport Football Podcast. Thanks for listening to the Gegenpod.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.